Okay, we're on Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yudalad. Last week we discussed how Yonasan had killed one of the Plishti governors, the officers, and the Plishtim massed their whole army, and they were facing opposite Klal Yisrael, and they were waiting, and Shaul was waiting in Gilgal, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and Shmuel didn't come. So Shaul brought the carbon, and he didn't wait for Shmuel. And then when Shmuel came, he said to him, "You're foolish, you didn't keep the mitzvah of Hashem. If you would have waited, your malchus would have extended on and on forever, ad olam. But because you didn't wait for me, the malchus will be taken and Hashem will find somebody better to be king." It's interesting, but this is another example about how Shaul was, if anyone else would have done it, it would have been the proper conduct, but for somebody like Shaul, it was wrong. The Note of Yehuda has a Shaila in Eben Ezer and the second Tinyona. And over there, his question was, it was in a certain area where the practice was that the Rav was always Masadar Kiddushin. And a Chasna was supposed to take place, and they were waiting for the Rav, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and something happened, and the Rav didn't come. So somebody else went ahead, and he was Masadar Kiddushin instead of the Rav, with the understanding that whatever payment is given to the Masadar Kiddushin really would go to the original Rav, or it wasn't like the Rav would suffer financially, but everyone's waiting, so he went ahead and was Masadar Kiddushin. And the question was asked to the Note of Yehuda, was that proper? And the Note of Yehuda basically discusses it, that in terms of Tircha de Tzibura, if everyone is waiting, in that case it's not necessary to wait for the Rav. In other words, that everyone's waiting for the Chasna to start. Obviously, when the Shiloh arises, it probably depends how long they waited, and but the point being that Tircha de Tzibura is an important rule. There are many things that are done in shul to avoid Tircha de Tzibura. So over here, normally, if everyone's waiting, and here they knew Shaul was the king who just a short time before, when they were threatened by Amon, Shaul energetically came and he cut up the animal and he sent it to all of Klal Yisrael, warning everybody they better come to war, and he put together an army of 330,000 men, and he immediately went to war and they won, and he was a successful king, energetic and vigorous, and everyone accepted Shaul to be king. After they saw what kind of a leader he was, they all accepted him. And now Shaul's waiting, and everyone sees nothing's happening. The Plishtim have an army that are like the sand by the shore. And he's sitting there and nothing's happening, and the army starts deserting and people are leaving. And he's waiting and waiting and waiting. He said, and they knew he was waiting 7 days for Shmuel, and the seventh day came and Shmuel's still not there. So ordinarily, it probably would have been a proper type of thing to do. Everyone's waiting. And we mentioned earlier that it wasn't even clear. Shmuel didn't stress that this is part of the nevuah, and not listening to me is like going against a prophet, which is Chayiv Misa. He just said to him, "You'll wait for me. The time will come and you'll wait for me 7 days." And he waited, and all he did was he brought a carbon, because he said, "Ufnei Hashem lo chilisi." What happens if the Plishtim attack? And I didn't daven, and I didn't bring a carbon. And the word chilisi is like in the Torah, Vayachal Moshe. And there's a number of different explanations what it means, Vayachal, what we learn on a fast day. One pshat is Vayachal is from the word to be like chayla, to be sick. That to daven with put so much effort into it, that it like becomes sick from it. In other words, to like really daven with all of your emotion, put everything into it. Which itself is remarkable, because if you think of Shaul as the general who's used to commanding an army and who's a tremendous warrior, and here to like put everything aside and like throw himself in tefillah, like, you know, that's all he has is davening. But that's the type of davening he meant. He says Vayisapak, that he strengthened himself, and even though he hesitated because he was waiting for Shmuel, he felt, what happens if they attack and I didn't bring a carbon? So at least let me bring a carbon. But even so, for Shaul, that was wrong. In other words, it was, as I say, we're not ones to judge, but it's a lesson to be learned that he was still affected by the fact that people were leaving. And a king should not have been affected by anything else. Shmuel said to wait. He should have waited till the end of the day. The full 7 days wasn't up. And that was a mistake. So Shmuel gave him that rebuke and Shmuel left. And now he's left with the 600 men and there's a Plishti army. And then the Matzav Plishtim, the end of the last parak said, the Matzav Plishtim came out on Mavar Michmosh to the pass, the way you pass by the place called Michmosh. Matzav, I saw they teach it as garrison, some people in ours. It means the Plishti officers, a group of soldiers. The Matzav Plishti moved into position. Yudalit. Vayhi Hayom, the day came, one of these days while they're waiting around. Vayomer Yonasan ben Shol el Hanar Nose Kalev. Yonasan, the son of Shol, said to the Nar, the lad, the attendant, who would carry his Kalem, his weapons. He had a weapon carrier. He said to him, Lecha, let's go Venabro al Matzav Plishtim. Let's pass over to where the Plishti soldiers are, that garrison of the group of soldiers. Ashim Evra Haloz, that's on the other side. Ula Oviv Lohigi. And he didn't tell his father. And we'll see there were actually like two mountains. The Yidden were on one mountain, and the Plishtim were on the other. And in between the mountains, there was a place to pass between the mountains, the valley road. And he said, let's cross over from one side to another. Now, it's the Malbim learns exactly that he didn't plan on attacking, and he really wasn't going to cross over to the other mountain. But Shol had a very small army. So what he did was he had his headquarters sort of hidden from view on the far side of the hill. In other words, he was on a mountain, but instead of being on the mountain where the Plishtim could see exactly who he had, he positioned himself sort of a little bit past, you know, a little bit on the decline on the far side of the hill so that the Plishtim on the top really couldn't see exactly how many Jewish soldiers there are. As they could tell, there's obviously soldiers, but it was sort of in the distance. They didn't get that close. Yonasan said to the Nar, let's go and cross El Matzav Plishtim toward where the Plishti soldiers are. And he didn't tell his father. And we're going to see in a moment, they had the Urim V'tumim. He didn't consult the Urim V'tumim. He didn't tell any of the other soldiers where he was going. He didn't tell anyone. He just went, the two of them, and they were going to get closer to the Plishti and see what was happening. But at this point, he wasn't planning on attacking. And the Nar didn't say anything. It seems like he was willing. And they went. The Malbim learns again that he wasn't planning on attacking. He just wanted maybe surveillance to see exactly what was going on. Other Mephorshim say it was understood that if they're leaving to get close to the Plishtim, obviously he was planning on doing something. Why he didn't say it? So I saw one of the Mephorshim explain that sometimes, just like a Novi is given a message and he has to convey it to the people, sometimes a person just has that feeling. Yonason was a tremendous tzaddik, and he just had this feeling that it was the right thing to do, and he knew that it was supposed to be done. But logically, if he would tell anybody, they would say, you're crazy and you're threatening Klal Yisrael. You know, sometimes a guy can decide he'll do something, and you don't know what repercussions it has on the other side of the world. You know, you'll decide you want to do something. You know, we're all in the boat together, and you dig a hole underneath your seat. The whole ship sinks, you know. So you have to be careful what you do, how it affects the rest of Klal Yisrael. But Yonasan knew that what he was going to do was the way to save Klal Yisrael, but it was the type of thing that could be he wasn't able to discuss. Nobody would understand him. Nobody would agree with him. So he went with his Nar toward the Plishtim. And interestingly, the other times when it mentions Yonasan, like two psukim earlier, it just calls him Yonasan. Here it stresses Yonasan ben Shaul. As if to stress, you know, he's still a son. He's a good son. He was faithful to his father. For whatever reason, he couldn't tell his father this, but it wasn't like, you know, as he was Yonasan ben Shaul. He was like his father. He was close with his father, but this matter, he wasn't able to tell him. B'Shaul Yoshev B'Ktzei HaGivo. Shaul was sitting on the outskirts, the far side of the Givo. That was the name of the mountain, Givas Binyamin. Tachas Harimon Asher B'Migron. There was a pomegranate tree near the place Migron, and he was in that location. V'ha'amashirimo, and the people with him, k'sheish me'osish. There were only 600 men. That's all he had. V'achia ben Achituv, and Achia ben Achituv, Achi Ikavod, he was the brother of Ikavod, ben Pinchas ben Eli Kayin Hashem, who was the son of Pinchas, the son of Eli, who was the Kayin to Hashem, Beshilo and Shilo, no say Ephod. He was the one who carried the Ephod. He wore the Ephod, which was one of the garments on which they had the Choshen with the Urim Vitumim, in which they could ask questions and get divine guidance. He was there also with Shaul. V'ha'am lo yodan, the people also didn't know ki halach Yonason, that Yonason went. In other words, he didn't ask the Urim Vitumim, he didn't tell the people, he didn't tell his father. He just went. What's interesting is, there was only a few years, maybe 10 years or so, there wasn't that many years from when Eli was in Shiloh till this point in history. In other words, Eli was nifter when he heard the news that the Aron was captured. At that point, in that battle with the Plishtim, his sons, Chofni and Pinchas, were killed. That was Pinchas. His daughter-in-law was expecting and went into labor. And when she went into labor, she had a baby that she called Ikavod, as if to say there's no honor left for Klal Yisrael, the Aron's been captured. But that was all at one event. We heard alert of Eli, and there was Pinchas, and Ikavod. And obviously he had a brother, must have been an older brother, because his father and mother were Nifter at that time. So he had a brother, Achituv. This is already his son, Achia. But it's funny that it's a great-grandson of Eli. Now, it's just a few years later, his great-grandson is now serving as Kohen Gadol. The way the generations just... Eli was very old, and I assume his grandson was very young, but great-grandson. And the interesting thing is it'll be rather shortly, we're going to have with Shaul chasing after David, and David went to the Nov, which was the city of Kohanim, and the Kohen there was Achimelech, the son of Achia. That's just interesting. Eli lived a life of 98 years. He can have all these generations that were serving in... quick succession. So Yonason went with the Nar, and he went toward the Plishtim, and the people didn't know that he had gone. Uvein HaMabros, between the Mabros, the place where people pass from one mountain to another, Ashebigish Yonason Lavro, Yonason wanted to cross over Al Matzav Plishtim, to where the Plishti garrison was. Shein Hasela Meha Aver Mizeh. There was a rocky precipice, there was a boulder, a cliff on one side. Shein Hasela Meha Aver Mizeh. And there was again like a cliff on the other side. Shein Hoyachod Botseitz. The name of one of them was Botseitz. Shein Hoyachod Sene. And the name of the other one was Sene. Now, why is it important to know their name? I would assume that if I were to tell you there's a rocky mountains, a mountainous region, and I'll tell you we got to a place called Pike's Peak or something. So you'll figure, it must have a name because it was something special, you know, an explorer, somebody discovered that place, but it's obviously a unique mountain that was known that this place is called Pike's Peak. When we're saying there was a rocky cliff, it doesn't, you know, you shouldn't just think, well, it's, you know, some mountains are a little bit rocky, whatever. This was almost like this was a landmark. In other words, the mountains had special names to it because everyone knew that this was a very unique mountain that was very difficult to climb down or climb up. Actually, the Targum seems to learn that the names somehow conveyed that one of them was called Botseitz, means it was a very slippery mountain, it was very difficult to climb, and the other one was Sene, was easier to walk on. It was called Madruchisa. But they were two rocky cliffs, the Plishtim on one side, Klal Yisrael on the other. Hashenu Echad Matzuk Mitzafon, the first one was on the north, Mul Michmash toward Michmash, which is where the Plishtim were. And the second was in the south toward Gova. It could be the soldiers were a little bit further back on the mountain. This rocky cliff was toward the Plishtim, and the other one was toward where the Yidden were. Vayomer Yehonasan el Hanar Nosei Kalev. Yehonasan said to the Nar who carried his weapons, Lachov and Avra, let's go and cross over El Matzav Ho'areilim Ho'ele. So the garrison, the group of soldiers of these Areilim. Areilim is somebody who didn't have a bris, uncircumcised. And that was a term normally used in Tanakh as a very derogatory put down. Calling somebody an Orel was a tremendous insult. And even if they're plishtim, that of course don't have the mitzvah, but it shows that they're this blemish, that they don't have the perfection of Klal Yisrael. So let's cross over on Matzav or Arelim or Eilat. So where these Arelim are. And we'll see very shortly in Pasuk Ches, he calls them Anoshim, men. Because I saw some of Forsh mention that ordinarily, when you're referring to anybody, you should speak in a very respectful manner, even if you're speaking about the Plishtim. He normally called them Anoshim. He called them men. But at this point, he wanted the Nar to agree to go with him. So in order to encourage him and to let him know, don't worry, don't be afraid, we'll be able to win, he referred to them in a scornful manner so that the Nar should take a look at them that, you know, there should be no problem. No problem winning this war, they're a bunch of Arelim anyways. So sometimes in order to give him the confidence, at this point when he initially made the proposition, he said, let's cross over to where the Arelim are. Ula yase Hashem lanu, perhaps Hashem will do for us. As he didn't go with a guarantee. And when a person goes to fight for Klal Yisrael, I think the Rambam brings down, when they went off to war, they went al das to be moiser nefesh. In other words, they went, no guarantees of winning. They're going to fight for Klal Yisrael, and if Hashem saves good. But there's no guarantee. Ulai, perhaps, yas Hashem lanu, Hashem will do for us. Ki ein l'Hashem matzor, because there's nothing holding back. There's no opposition. Nothing's restraining Hashem. Lo Shia from saving, Berav o Bimod. Oh, Berav o Bimod. Whether there's a lot of soldiers or a few soldiers, Hashem doesn't need a big army in order to win. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to win, whether we have many or we have few, we'll be able to win. The question why over here in Pasuk Vav, it says Yehonasan, is a good question. Till now he called Yonasan. And there's certain rules. The rule is, now it fits in with the Pasuk, and that already is very difficult, and would really need I'd have to have an explanation to fit in with all the Pasukim. In general, adding the letter He shows an extra amount of Chashivas. In other words, adding a letter to his name. In fact, like we say in the Shir Shel Yom, Eidus Behosef Samo B'Tseisal Eretz Mitzrayim, that when Yosef HaTzadik went out through the land of Egypt, there was a sign that Yosef was the one who was Hashem was with him. But over there it says Be Hosef. Also it adds a hey to his name. Hey signifies a certain extra greatness. In general, earlier he was just called Yonasan, and later on he's called Yehonasan. But when you find a variation why this time it's with a hey and why that time without a hey, I'm not sure how to fit it in with all the Pesukim. But it could be at this point when he's preparing to fight for Klal Yisrael, but here it mentions again Yehonasan, but it's the same person. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say whether we're many or few. Vayomer lo Nosei Kalev, so his weapon carrier said, Asei kol asher b'levavecha, do whatever is in your heart. Or as he sort of is relying on Yehonasan, I don't know if it's the right decision or the wrong decision, and ordinarily a person can't have that attitude. In other words, say, you'll do something reckless, you know, like the bumper sticker that says, don't worry, you know, God's behind the wheel, or something like that, you know. You can't go ahead and do something crazy and say, well, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save if he wants. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects you to make a hishtadlus and to make an effort and to do things in a normal manner. Of course, depending on a person's level of bitachon and that's a whole separate shmooze, exactly how you have that balance of making an effort and relying on Hashem. But here, obviously, Yehonasan was convinced that this was the proper course of action, and the Nar was relying on him. Asei kol asher b'levavecha, do whatever you feel is right. Even though, of course, his life is also going to be at risk. You know, he's expected to go along. but he's relying on Yehonathan. Neteloch, you can turn to whichever direction you want. Hineni imcha kilvavecha. I'm with you as it's in your heart, as you feel. Vayomi Yehonathan. So Yehonathan said, Hine anachnu ovrim elho anoshim. We're going to cross over to where these men are, the plishtim. V'niglinu aleihem, and we're going to show ourselves to them. As right now they don't see us yet. We're going to appear and they're going to see the two of us. Im ko yomru eleinu, if they say to us, domu, be quiet, stay where you are. Ad hagienu aleichem, till we come to you. Don't move, we're coming to you. V'amanu sachteinu, so we're going to stay where we are, below nala aleihem, and we're not going to go up to them. He doesn't say whether they're going to run away or not. I don't know exactly. You know, they're going to wait for the plishtim to come. The truth is, there's a danger in general. If the plishtim come toward them and they're going to run back to the Jewish army, the very fact the Jewish army sees people running back to them, it can ensue a whole chaos. It can jeopardize everyone's safety. You know, as once you have some soldiers running and the plishtim are coming after them, maybe they were going to make a stand. The pasuk just seems to say, "Vabanu sachteinu." If they come to us, we'll stay where we are, and I guess we'll fight and we'll see what happens. But we won't move. If they say we're coming to you, we're going to stay where we are. V'inko yomru. But if they say, "Alu aleinu," come up to us. V'olinu, then we will go up. Ki nesanam Hashem biyodeinu. That's a sign that Hashem gave them into our hands. V'zelonu ha'os, and this is for us the sign. If they tell us, go up, come up to us, then we will go up to the plishtim. It sounds simple enough, but these two psukim are a major discussion in the Mefarshim, because there's an Issa d'Oraisa called Lo Senachashu. You're not allowed to do nichush, which loosely translated as some type of sorcery. But it actually means, Losh Senachashu means, if a person, the Radak gives a number of examples, it means a guy who says, you see a bird or a weasel eating, and you say, oh, I saw that animal eating, and the bread fell out of its mouth. It's a bad sign. We're not going to do whatever we were going to do today. We're going to have to change our plans. A deer cut across me across the road, or I heard the raven was calling out, or there was a fox went on my right side, or a snake on my left side, different things like that, people nowadays even say, oh, a black cat, you know, ran in front of them, whatever. But if a person planned to do something, and he changes his mind because of one of these things, it's also because of Lo Senachashu. The Torah says you're not allowed to engage in those types of activities, to look for these signs that if this happened, I'm going to do a certain action. A person has to put his faith in Hashem, and you do what sounds like a reasonable, what's a normal course of events, and to rely on these bizarre occurrences is an Issa d'Oraisa. In fact, the Gemara says, Kol nachash she'eino keliezer eved Avraham uchiyonason ben Shaul eino nachash. That a nachash, this type of using signs, is something like Eliezer did when he went to the well. He said he's coming to the well, he's looking for a shidduch for Yitzchak, and he said the girl that I asked to draw water, and if she does it, she's the right shidduch, without checking around, without finding out if she's from Avram's family. If she does it, she's the right one. And the Gemara seems to say that that's called a nachash that's usser. And the other example is Yonason ben Avram, Yonason ben Shaul, that we have over here. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim in the 11th Perek brings down this Gemara, and he discusses you're not allowed to do Nichush, and he gives that example what we're talking about, like Eliezer Eved Avram. He didn't mention Yonason. Could be he had a different girsa in the Gemara. He only mentions the idea of like doing like Eliezer, like saying, if such a thing happens, I'm going to react in a certain manner. And I just mention this because it's a lesson when you're learning through Nach, when you're learning through these things. The Ravid makes a comment. And the Ravid says, it's a great mistake because what Eliezer did is mutter, and it's certainly mutter, and maybe the fact that the Gemara said any nachash that's not like Yonah's son, or that's not like Eliezer, is not a nachash, maybe that caused the Rambam to make a mistake. But what they did was 100% mutter. And he writes, Ve'eich choshav al tzadikim kamosam. How could the Rambam think about tzadikim like them, Aveira zu and Aveira like this? Vihavu inhu, if they would be around, Havu matki pulsi denura la pe. They would have hit the Rambam with lashes of fire. You know, like bolts of lightning, or whatever, lashes of fire. But I'm saying, even if the Rambam says that, we have to be very careful who you're talking about and what we're saying. But it seems to be, that this should be also because of Nachash. As you're saying, if the Plishtim say, stay where you are, we're going to stay where we are. And if they say, come up to us, that's a sign that we're going to win and we're going to go up. And we're going to go up and attack. But the Mefarshim explain, and as I say, the Rambam doesn't mention this case. And when the Gemara says any Nachash that's not like this is not a Nachash, the answer the Mefarshim give is a Nachash is something that you have to do in advance. In other words, if a guy says, well, I moved into a house and something good happened, must mean it's a good simon on this house. Just because it happened one time doesn't mean an event, you know, a person will look back with 20-20 hindsight, something good happened, you'll say, well, something good happened, it must be because of something that happened in the past. That's not called a nachash, that's not called a simon, that's meaningless. Unless it happens a few times where it's clear that he did something and then things are constantly going well for him. But just if he did some action and then something good, unrelated, happens, you can't say it's one's dependent on the other. What the Gemara is saying is, a nachash, and likewise any kind of simon, has to be in advance. Like Yonason said, right now, before it happens, I'm telling you, if the plishtim say this, it means this, and if they say that, it means something else. In advance, if you plan it out, that could be a nachash, which is aser, but it also could be a simon. But all these things have to be scheduled in advance. They have to be planned in advance. Over here, what Yonason was saying was, this should be just a simon. Now, there's a number of ways of explaining why it's permitted. One reason, the Radak mentions, is that Yonason knew he was going to end up fighting the Plishtim. His question was, just sometimes a person wants a sign to give him a little bit of chizik. And if the sign's a good sign, it's encouraging and it'll give him more energy to fight. And perhaps if it's a bad sign, so he'll be more cautious and more wary. But it wasn't really affecting his action. Which, the truth is, it's hard to fit into the psukim. The psukim seems to say he would act differently. But the Radak seems to say the basic thing is he was going to attack the Plishtim regardless. Just whether he would go up then, or maybe he would wait and then go, minor, you know, exactly how he would do it, that already, he left toward this simon, but it was more of a sign just to give him encouragement. He used the expression that, kol devarim yishma, a person hears something, v'yachazik libo, yishma odom v'yachazik libo, and it gives him the courage to act. Other Mephorshim learned that, and the Radak also mentions, that Nachash is Usur if a person takes a sign, as I say, like a deer ran in front of him and therefore he's going to do something. One thing has no connection with another. Over here, it's a very logical connection. The Plishtim have a tremendous, tremendous army. The logical thing is, if two people show up and they seem to be approaching, you immediately send out somebody to investigate. What, they're too lazy or they're too scared? Or why are you like, you know, what kind of an attitude is that? You see enemy soldiers drawing near and you just do nothing. You come up and there's a way, you know, the cop will pull over the car and tell the guy, you know, come on out and come over here. Normally they say, you stay where you are, don't move, we're coming to you. That's, you know, you're in charge and you get up and you investigate. Not to tell them to come. The very fact that if they would tell Yehonasan, you come up to us, shows that they're a little bit scared. It's something that it's not necessarily apparent to everyone, but even in that nuance, the attitude that they're not eager to fight, they're hesitant, and they're going to wait for Yohanan's son to come, that shows that they're hesitant, and that's a sign that logically, obviously, they're not eager to fight, and we'll be able to win. So it wasn't a strange type of sorcery or like a sign that's not relevant. It's clear from their words that we will be successful. Military assessment. That's right. And another pshat is that a nachash is again something that if somebody says that this is going to affect a certain behavior. If a deer crossed in front of him, that deer crossing in front of him is going to give him bad luck. That's nachash. If a person doesn't believe that it's going to give him bad luck, just it's a sign. Like over here, in other words, if the plishtim say, come up to us, that doesn't make them win the war. Their words aren't going to make Yehonah's son lose the war that they're going to have to stay. It's just a sign that obviously, if they say, come up, will be victorious. But it's not what's going to make them victorious. It's not like if the animal drops the piece of bread, that's going to give them good luck or bad luck. Military assessment. That's right. And another pshat is that a nachash is again something that if somebody says that this is going to affect a certain behavior. If a deer crossed in front of him, that deer crossing in front of him is going to give him bad luck. That's nachash. If a person doesn't believe that it's going to give him bad luck, just it's a sign. Like over here, in other words, if the plishtim say, come up to us, that doesn't make them win the war. Their words aren't going to make Yehonah's son lose the war that they're going to have to stay. It's just a sign that obviously, if they say, come up, will be victorious. But it's not what's going to make them victorious. It's not like if the animal drops the piece of bread, that's going to give them good luck or bad luck. Here it's just a sign, a simon, not what's giving them success, but a sign that they'll be successful. So they said they're going to appear to the plishtim, and whatever the plishtim say will affect what they do. The Barbanel and other Mephoshim point out that the truth is the plishtim could have said other words and totally. They could have said, come here. They could have said, let's fight. They could have said many different things. If they use the words, wait, come up to us, if they use the words, come up to us, those words are almost like a nevuah. It's almost like a prophecy because they could have said anything else. So it's different than a nachash. It's almost there's a prophetic a sign that this is that they'll be successful, because after all they didn't have to say anything. They could have just gone and attacked. If they use these words, it must mean this. If they use that, it could mean something else. Vayigolu shneihem. So anyways, Yonasan and his nar appeared al matzav plishtim, to where the plishtim soldiers were. Vayomru plishtim, and the plishtim said, Hinei ivrim yotzim, the Hebrews are going out, minachorim, from the holes, asher yischabu shom, where they hid. As they knew that the Yidden had been hiding. We learned the lunch, a lot of them ran in hiding, a lot of them ran away. And all of a sudden they saw two people showing up from nowhere. So they said, oh, the ivrim are coming out. And again, it's a very scornful way. The Hebrews are coming out of their holes. Like a bunch of mice. The ivrim are coming out of their holes. You know, could be they figured maybe they're coming to surrender. Maybe they're starving in the holes and they're coming to ask for some food. Anyways, but they're coming out. Vayanu anshe hamatzova. The people of the garrison responded, as Yonasan vesnose Caleb, to Yonasan and his weapon carrier. Vayomer, they said, alu eleinu, come up to us. Vinodia eschem dover, and we'll let you know something. You come up to us and we'll tell you something. Vayomer Yonasan al nose Caleb. Yonasan said to his weapon carrier, Alei achrai, come up after me, ki nesanam Hashem biyad Yisrael, because Hashem has obviously given them over into the hands of Klal Yisrael. And again, he mentions, not into my hands, not into our hands, biyad Yisrael, and he knows that if they're successful, it's in the zechus of Klal Yisrael. Vayal Yonason, so Yonason went up, al yodov al raglov, on his hands and feet, v'nose kelev achrov, and his weapons carrier was in back of him. Now either can mean they're clawing their way up the cliff. There's a cliff and they're climbing up like that. Some learn on the hands and feet that it's the quickest way to scamper up a steep incline. As if a person just goes on all fours and he starts climbing, it means with all of his energy. In other words, they quickly went up the mountain. And I saw the Das Seifrim learns it could be they wanted to have a low profile, that they have to be afraid that the plishtim are going to shoot down on them from the top of the mountain. It was a cliff. So they quickly, instead of standing erect, they were hunched over on all fours so that they gave a low target, so it would be hard for the plishtim to get them. Oh. Now, the truth is it was a cliff. But whenever you're climbing a mountain, if you see a cliff, you look for a place that's a more gradual descent. And the Malbim has a beautiful explanation in this whole setup here. That what happened was the Plishtim army, which was tremendous in number, was at the top of the mountain. They had sent a group of soldiers. There was a road that went up the mountain, probably a winding road along the side. And they had a group of soldiers on that road, blocking the road. You know, further down, an outpost, perhaps near the bottom of the road. When they saw Yonason and Shaul, so first of all, Yonason and Shaul didn't take the road. They went straight up the cliff. I even wonder if, you know, sometimes you have a cliff and you have rocks sticking out. It could be you're even hidden from view at some point. So as they saw two people, and all of a sudden an overhang, the two people, they noticed them below, and then all of a sudden they're out of view for a while. So it could be as an element of surprise. Now they went straight up the cliff. V'nosa kelev achrov, v'yiplu lifnei Yonason. In which the plishtim that they encountered fell before Yonason. V'nosa kelev Moshe sachrov, and his weapons carrier was killing them after Yonason. Now it's Yonason, they obviously had to work quick. They couldn't spend much time. He gave one swipe, I guess. We learned the only people that had a sword, miraculously, they only had weapons for Shaul and Yonason. Nobody else had metal weapons. But Yonason had one. So it could be Yonason took his sword and he gave a slash or whatever, and he wounded the Plishti soldier, and then he had to quickly go to the next, and the weapons carrier finished up the job. But he hamakor ishon, the initial blow, asher hika Yonason v'nose Caleb, that Yonason's in his weapons carrier, their initial blow was Kastramish. They killed like 20 people, kivachatzi mano, and like the distance of half a furrow, semed, that a pair of oxen would, of soda, a pair of oxen that plows a field, it was a certain standard length. When you're plowing a field, how many feet or yards do you plow? It was a certain standard length, and they, in about the area of half a furrow, they killed 20 people. There's a Mishnah in Olos, in the beginning of the 17th Perek, that says a standard furrow was 100 amos. Just to give you an idea, a standard or is 100 amos, so half a furrow would be 50 amos. An amos, 2 feet or less, there's different opinions what an amma is. But assuming it's around 2 feet, so it means in a span of about 100 feet, he killed 20 people. Which is itself, as Rashi mentions, it's a gvura gedoilahi. It shows a tremendous strength, because there was, within a short span of 100 feet, there was 20 plishtim came running, and he quickly was able to kill them all without being killed. Vatihi charodo b'machane. There was a trembling in the camp, vasodeh in the field, uvachol ha'am, and among all the people. Hamatzav ha'mashchis. The matzav is the garrison of Plishti soldiers. Ba'mashchis is they had raiding parties, a bunch of people that just went causing desolation. Chordu gam hema. They were also trembling. And as the Malbim learns, what happened was, when they came up the cliff, they were in between the main Plishti camp and in between the group of soldiers that was further down the mountain. And they killed whoever they found. But then in the camp, when they were aware that there's there were only two of them, but they were there, how did they get up to that point in the camp? They figured they must have wiped out all of the Plishti soldiers that were further down the road. In other words, how did they get that far? All of a sudden they saw it and there was a tremendous panic. Could be it's not just these two. Maybe there's a whole bunch of Yidden. How do they get it to this place? Must be there's a whole group and they wiped out the Plishtim further down. They're already on their way up. So the major camp started panicking. And once the major camp was panicking because they thought that the outpost was wiped out, so of course the soldiers further down started panicking because they saw above on the mountain that they were fleeing. So everyone was trembling, Vatirgaz Haaretz, and there was a tremendous trembling in the land. Some learn it, Vatihi Lecherdas Elokim, it was a tremendous fear that everyone had. And some learn, Vatihi Lecherdas Elokim, it either means it was just a very great fear, or it was almost, there was a certain Siyata Dishmaya, maybe there was an earthquake at the same point, but with the natural fear from Yonasan and his Nosei Kalev, somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that the Plishtim just had an unnatural, they just had a fear that this is, we're about to be defeated. Vayiru Hatsofim L'Shol. Now Shol had lookouts, and they saw B'Givas Binyamin, they're up on Givas Binyamin, and they see V'Nei HaHomo Nomog, the whole mass of soldiers by the Plishtim was just like melting away. Vayelech, and they were going, Vahalom, and they were getting defeated. As they saw, they could see from them, and it looked like they were acting like men who were defeated in battle. Or Vahalom might mean that they were coming back, they were running this way and running back that way. There was just mass chaos. The Malbim points out, and the Malbim does this throughout Tanakh, but there are no exact synonyms in Lashon HaKodesh. Every word has its own specific connotation. If you want to see a group of men, you would say tzova, like an army, or machane, is a camp, or could mean a people. The word hamon is mashma, like they tell you, you know, multitude, but it implies a haphazard gathering. That when they looked out, it was no longer the Plishti army. It was just mass. It was just a mass of people that were running here, back and forth, and there was this total confusion. Vayomer Shol Omasherito. So Shol said to the people that were with him, Piktu no ru, count, investigate, and see mi holach meimonu. Who left us? Now, of course, that itself, you know, knowing the story, so it seems like a very logical question. There was a special siyata dishmaya, though, I'm sure, to even ask that question. Because who said anybody left? Why should you assume somebody left? As he's looking out, and all of a sudden they're running around. Who knows what happened over there? I don't know, maybe the general died. I don't know exactly what the confusion over there is. But anyway, Shol just had this feeling, something happened. Find out, mi holach meimonu, who left us? Vayif kedu, so they counted and they checked. Bnei ein Yonasan v'nosei Kalev. And sure enough, Yonasan and his weapons carrier were the two who were not there. Vayomer Shol Achia. So Shol said to Achia, that we mentioned earlier, he was the Kohen Gadol, he was the one with the Urim V'tumim. Shol said to him, Hagish Aronu Elokim, bring close the Aron. Could be the Urim V'tumim were kept together with the Aron. Could be the Urim V'tumim only worked in the vicinity of the Aron. But bring the Aron here. And as Rashi says, the point was not to ask the Ark, but the point was the Urim V'tumim, which was, as we learned, that it was in the Choshen, on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, and different letters and words would light up, the letters would light up, and then he could figure out with Ruach HaKodesh what the message is. But bring the Urim V'tumim. Bring the Aron. Ki hoya Aron ho'elokim bayom ahu, the Aron of Hashem was on that day, uv'nei Yisrael with the B'nei Yisrael. The Aron had been in the place Kiryas Yaarin. And one of the Meforshim mentions, the Das Sofrim, that Kiryas Yaarin, where the Aron was, and Givas Binyamin, where the Jewish army was, and the Plishtim were right there, they were all in the same vicinity. They were all not far from Yerushalayim. And it could be that once they had this danger with the Plishtim attacking, they took the Aron from Kiryas Yaarin and they brought it with them, because whatever happens, they wanted the Aron with them. They didn't want to take any chances the Plishtim would capture the Aron. I guess this way, they would see if they have to run, they run with the Aron. But they wanted the Aron with them. So the Aron was with them. And Shaul said, bring the Aron. Vayhi adiber Shaul el ha-Kohen. And it was till Shaul spoke to the Kohen. V'ha-homon ha-shev ha-machne plishtim, the multitude, the crowd of people that were in the camp of the plishtim, v'yelech holoch v'rov. It was just going in the confusion. Again, if homon means like confusion, you understand v'yelech holoch v'rov means the confusion grew. Otherwise, the problem is, it seems to say the crowd got larger, which actually the crowd, the plishtim were scattering, were fleeing, were shouldn't have been. Either it means the confusion got greater, or it means the noise, they could hear sounds that the plishtim were being defeated, were routed. They heard that tremendous noise, v'yelech holoch v'rov, and they could see, v'yomer Shaul al ha-Kohen, Shaul said to the Kohen, asof yodechel, pull back your hands, or don't ask the Urim v'Tumim. To ask the Urim v'Tumim, it wasn't like you snap your fingers and you get an immediate answer. The Kohen who did it had to do it with Ruach HaKodesh, and he had to reach a certain state of mind, and he had to be, it took a certain amount of preparation to ask the Urim v'Tumim, and then you got the message, and then the letters had to be combined in a certain way. It couldn't be done 1, 2, 3, and needed a certain amount of preparation, and there was no time for it, because he saw the plishtim was scattering. So he told the person at Sof Yodechel, pull back your hands, and there's no time to ask. And there's a medrash of Chazal, that Chazal say, this was actually a mistake. Certain things you don't have to do. But once you like ask the Urim v'Tumim, in other words, once you give the instructions, let's ask the Urim v'Tumim, once you do that, you know, I have to say, let's not. In fact, there's a Gemara that discusses in terms of a certain Shailah came up, and they decided they were going to ask the Rav, they were going to ask the Gadol, and then they decided, let's not. The Gemara says once you say you're going to ask him, to say you're not, depending on the circumstances, that itself could be like a bit of an insult. For Shaul, that was a mistake. Or once you say to ask the Urim v'Tumim, you shouldn't have decided not to. But Shaul said to the Kohen, Asof Yodecha. And the interesting thing is, the Targum uses the words Korev Ephoda, bring the Ephod. And the Mefarshim discuss exactly how that fits in. Or what do you mean, bring the Ephod? Asof Yodecha seems to say, don't ask the Ephod, and the Targum seems to say they should bring the Ephod. Maybe it means Korev Ephod, bring the Ephod close, back to the Aron, and don't use it. But it seems that they did not ask the Ephod. Vaizoik Shol v'chol amasherito. Shol and all the people with him, there were shouts, and they were mobilized. Vayavo adam alchom, and they came to the battle. V'nehoisa cherev ish b'reyeyu. And the sword of one plishti was against the other. Mahuma gedoyle ma'od. There was a tremendous confusion. So in the plishti camp, there was chaos, and they end up killing each other. V'ha'ivrim ha'yu la plishtim ke'esmol shilshom. Besides the plishtim, there were Jews who were with the plishtim. Could be they sort of joined the plishti side when they realized that the plishtim had such an iron control over the country. Out of desperation, they went to the plishtim. Could be there were certain Jews that were, against their will, schlepped into the army by the plishtim. But there were Jews who were with the plishti forces. From previously, Kesmol Shilshim, from yesterday, the day before, no, it's from previous. Asher Oluimon Bamachne Soviv. They had gone up with the plishtim in the camp around. V'gam Heimu Liyosim Yisrael. So now all of a sudden, like the famous fifth column, now not only was it the plishtim were in a chaos, but all the Jews that were with the plishtim now turned against the plishtim. V'gam Heimu Liyosim Yisrael. They also went together with Klal Yisrael. Asherim Shol V'Yonason that were with Shol and Yonason. So they also came and they joined to attack the plishtim. V'chol ish Yisrael, and all of the Jewish forces, hamischabim, all the Jewish people that had been hiding, Bahar Ephraim and Har Ephraim, shamu, they all heard, ki nosu plishtim, that the plishtim fled. Vayad b'ku gam heima achareim. So they also stuck after the plishtim ba milchom in battle. You know, it's when times are rough, a good friend is there when you need him. But it obviously had all these people that when they really could have used them, they scattered. And Shaul was left with 600 men. Everybody else, they went into hiding and they fled and they weren't around. All of a sudden, though, now that the Plishtim are on their way to defeat, well, I guess that's better than nothing. At least now they joined. Everyone came out of hiding, and the Jews that were with the Plishtim joined the battle. Vayosha Hashem b'yom ha'os Yisrael. And Hashem saved on that day Klal Yisrael. V'hamilchoma ovra es beis oven. And the battle passed over to the place called Beis Oven. In other words, they pursued the Plishtim. They were no longer on their mountaintop of Michmash, but there was a mass rout, and the Plishtim were running, and the Yidden were battling after them. The Ish Yisrael Nigas Bayom Hahu. The Jewish people were under a lot of pressure on that day. They were being pushed to fight the Plishtim. Vayoel Shoel Es Ha'om Lemor. Shoel made the people swear on that day, saying, Orur ha'ish asher yochal lechem ad ho'erev. Cursed is the person that eats bread before nighttime. Or it's nobody's eating till night. V'nikamtime oivai, and I'm going to take revenge from my enemies, the enemies of Klal Yisrael. V'lo toram kol ha'om lochem. And nobody ate. Which is, you know, it's, and they're in a time of war. A person, you know, might figure he needs the nourishment or whatever, but Shaul made everyone swear, there's no eating, today we have to defeat the Plishtim. Some of us should point out, when we started the parak, it said, Vayihi Hayom, the day came, and Yonasan said to his weapon carrier, let's cross over to the place of the Plishtim. Here again it says, Vayosh Hashem Bayom Hahu, Hashem saved them on that day. And it says, V'ish Yisrael Nigas Bayom Ahu. The Jewish people were under pressure on that day. That it all happened in one day. As Yonason started out early in the morning, it's hard to imagine how, you know, with such a crowd of people, how everything just, you know, in such a short time. But in one day, Yonason went there, and the whole sequence of events happened in a day. And Shaul told the people to swear that nobody's eating till night, and in order that the defeat of the Plishtim will be finished on that day. We'll stop here, and we'll see, Yemir Tzashem, next time exactly what happened as the Yidden are chasing after the Plishtim, and nobody is eating.